And welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. So let's get started.
So here you are, these two Quattro teens. Again, your coat check, girls. I want to know how the leap went from you're working there. Okay, so obviously your brother Mickey is a part of this. So we understand that there are more connections than you just being an employee to Dave Leon. But how did it come about that you, Patty, dared Dave Leon to put you guys on stage? Tell us how this all came about.
Okay, well, interestingly, I have to say, this is my impression. Nan and me and Diane were more tuned in to what was happening musically because when that hideout opened, we were already playing around with instruments and the local musicians. Susie was more into having the fun at the teenage club, you know. She was a coquette check girl. She wasn't quite tuned into that yet, even though she had her Elvis thing that she, I want to do that, you know, real young. But I was tuned into the music. I was listening to all this. It was percolating up in my mind, and things were happening to radicalize me into this rock vein instead of the folk thing. So it changed over very quickly, especially after I saw the Beatles and, you know, was hanging out with the Quackenbush boys and all that. So normal teens, you know, just looking for excitement on a Friday night. I mean, that's what it was. So at one point, I was looking at those bands every week, and I went up to Dave and I said, you know what? I mean, it was all bravado. You know, I said, Dave, we're better than all those bands you're putting up on the stage. Why don't you give us a shot on stage? And I'll never forget the look on his face. He had such a smirk on his face. He said, okay, you got it. 3 weeks, three songs. That's all he said. That was it. And I shit. You know, I mean, oh my God, we have to go home and, you know, pick out three good songs that we can do and do it. So, and this was in October of 64. This was after the Beatle Epiphany because we were formed. And we were practicing. So we had to pick out three songs to do.
Okay, wait, but before you move on, because that actually, now the timing of that makes sense. So the Epiphany with the Beatles was September 6th.
That's C5, yes.
Okay, and so then you've already formed your band, and we're going to talk more about this, obviously, in all the details. But so you had already formed the band. So when you say to Dave, we're a better band than these bands put us on, you already had Susie there, you had Mary Lou, you had Nan, you had Diane, and you, correct?
Yes, and I already wanted to do something with it. It was obviously in my mind big time because I'd been listening all through when he opened May 7th, all through the summer, listening to all these different bands. So it was hitting me like, you know, it's a lot of thought going into it. So it comes up to October and those other experiences, it was like, okay, Dave, I just took the leap, told him, you need to put us up there.
Well, the thing I love is, first of all, you're so your brother's little sister sometimes in this bravado. I love it so much. But I also think, again, I really want to underscore this because for me growing up in LA, gender was so overlaid in terms of importance and how you were marketed. And I realize you were so in your nascent moments of the pleasure seekers, you're marketing yourself to Dave Leon. And you didn't say we're better than those boy bands. You didn't say girls can play equally as good. That was not your pitch. What you said is we're better than those bands.
Yeah.
Gender was removed from any of that pitch to him. And I love the fact that he smirked and went, you got it. 3 weeks, three songs.
he didn't even think about it. It was like, such a smirk. I think he thought it, oh, this will be hilarious or something. I don't know, but he didn't even put a gender thing on it either. And it was never in my mind, never that, oh, well, you know, it just worked. It worked.
Did he know that you were now the pleasure seekers and working in this, starting this band? Did he have any idea?
I have no idea. I don't remember that. Maybe Mickey told him. I don't know. You know, Mickey knew we were starting, but he was so busy with his own thing, booking the bands and doing his stuff, you know, and playing with Dad still, his gigs, you know. So it's all crossover stuff. It's just how it all rolled out. It's interesting.
It is interesting. And so I want to hear that you've now, you bravado Patty, have given Dave Leon this bet. He takes you up on it and says 3 weeks, three songs. How
That's
did
all he
you
said.
come back? How did you come back to the other band members, tell them about this? And then how did you come up with the three songs? And I believe that you shared with me the three songs that you did were Latin Lupe Lou. And I believe that's Mitch Ryder. So that makes sense. And then you did Long Texan, which I had
Long
to,
Tall Texan.
Long Tall Texan. And then you did Louie Louie.
Because it had the swear word in it. Everybody, everyone at the, every time it came on, fuck you, girl. Yeah. I mean, it was the thing everybody listened for. So we had to do that song. Those were
That's funny.
the three we, and three chords, they were easy, easy. I mean, we were just starting. So they were three good songs to do. And Mary Lou was like, oh my God, her eyes, what? We're gonna go on stage. She was pretty freaked out.
Well, before we go on, Patty, unfortunately, we don't have any recordings of your early band, the Early Pleasure Seekers, singing these three cover songs. However, we do have a recording of Louie Louie performed by your friends, the Quackenbush Brothers, otherwise known as the Fugitives, who recorded this song, and it was on a Hideout record label. So let's listen to this and imagine your band covering it. I just think that is the coolest version ever, although I didn't get to hear the Pleasure Seekers, but there's just something really raw about that version. And again, that was a cut from The Fugitives at the Hideout, Dave Leon's Hideout. And Patty, we've been discussing this, and I'm just so excited to be here in Detroit and to go to all your old haunts and envisioning you or imagining you at Olympia Stadium in the audience with the Beatles. So, listening to the Fugitives sing Louie Louie at the Hideout, it at least says this on the label. Were you in the audience? Were you screaming?
I wouldn't have been screaming. I would have been listening. We were hanging with them. We considered ourselves musicians by that point when the Hideout label came out. And I remember the Fugitives had the Quackenbush Boys had a studio in their basement. So the way I remember is they recorded Love Potion Number 9 and Louie Louie and Friday Night at the Hideout as it came up to doing that album, and they re-recorded it and added audience and screams and stuff. So I'm not quite sure it was completely live or how they did that, but there was some kind of memory there that it was redone when they released it.
Well, it's
So.
funny, and I buy that story that it was redone because when I was first listening to it for us and this episode, I thought, wow, that's a really big audience for the Hideout.
It was a small place. I mean, it was jammed with kids, but it wasn't. It was a VFW hall, just one little building, and he filled it. So it wouldn't have been some like thousands of people. No way.
Well, it's still a really, really, really cool version, and I really wish we had your version. But let's go back in time and pretend that we did, or at least in our heads. I want to hear about how you and the other girls, how did you even get ready once Mary Lou was over the freaking out phase of gearing up for performing at Dave Leone's Hideout?
Well, she never got over it, number one. Me and my big mouth, I'm the one that got us into the 3 weeks, three songs with a smirk on his face. He loved it. I think he thought it would be hilarious and maybe turn out well. So he was excited. We went home and I told him, man, we gotta get this done. We gotta learn three songs that will sound good at the Hideout. So we picked those three because they were very popular. Everybody was into it. All the girls were positive and into it. Mary Lou was more skeptical, of course. And we practiced our asses off. Of course, we were nervous to take a chance. We were gonna play in public for the first time. And the British invasion dictated our clothing. We did the striped t-shirts and an English coat and English boots, Levi's, long hair, just that look, completely different from what Genya was doing in New York, like opposite. That's how different we were. And there were a lot of girls playing music back in those days, all over the world, different states. They didn't play like what we were going after, which was the male band sound. A lot of them were very girly. I don't want to use that disrespectfully, but they just took after more the girl groups, the vocal groups. And that's what their sound was more like. And some of them were more R&B, like Genya. We were into the English thing and we learned all the pop hits and everything that were coming out from the British invasion. So
Well, just for clarity, because not everybody is in the in as you are. When you say Genya, we're talking about Genya Ravon, and she was from Goldie and the Gingerbreads.
yes.
So, with just for those who don't know, another very early all female band. But yes, so I realized you were going with a British invasion kind of Beatles, look and all of that stuff, all that fun stuff. But you say you were excited and nervous, but I'm remembering my teen years. So tell me if I'm remembering incorrectly about being a teen, or maybe you had a different experience. Add to the nerves, add to the fact that you're playing a gig for the first time, that you're playing in front of your teen peers. And let's just be real honest here. Teens can be so cruel. So, and especially in that era, I mean, whether you were good or not, you were a bit of an anomaly as an all-female band.
Yes.
So, talk a little bit about that.
Well, we knew a lot of the people at the teen club because, I mean, they would come from all over, but a lot of it was our high school friends, people we knew. So, they were supportive. They knew what we were trying to do, but there were a lot that were in that audience that were incredibly skeptical. I mean, they all rushed the stage when we, it was a little triangular stage in the corner at the front. The other corner was the check room, and then the entrance was in the middle. And
Were
I
you
couldn't,
elevated? Sorry, were
It
you
was
ele
elevated. Yes, it was elevated, but it was tiny. You know, this is in the days that nobody had some wall of amps. I mean, you know, it was smaller amps and some microphones, all the bands, and we plugged into somebody else's equipment, obviously, to do three songs. And everybody rushed the stage. The boys were the first ones to rush the stage. Oh, this is going to be good. And the girls were laughing their butts off and just pointing and giggling. Oh, this is, I can't believe this. Making fun, complete fun of us, you know. Mary Lou turned around. I mean, I told you she never got through her nervousness. She turned around before we started and she looked at us wide-eyed and said, "What the fuck are we doing up here?" She was the only one that had that thought, but I crack up because she was so scared, you know.
Well, but weren't you? I mean, this was your first gig.
No, I was just wanting to prove it, you know, that we could do it. I knew we knew those three songs. We rehearsed the hell out of them. So I just wanted to get up there and do it. And Diane felt the same way. She was confident on her ability. I'm not sure if I remember how Susie was. She was gung-ho to do a band, so she probably was confident. Mary Lou was the scared one. Nan couldn't wait. She just wanted to play drums and get up there. So by the end of the three tunes, we tuned up, you know, to all this skepticism. By the end of the three tunes, they were cheering at us and it was really well received. And we were flipped out. We like, oh my God, you know, we were on our way.
Wait. Tell us about the girls' response in the audience. Did they
They
change their mind?
cheered at the end. Yes. I think they went into a place like, hey, they're doing it, you know, like a girl thing. So I think they were
Oh.
proud in the end, but they didn't start out that way. They were very skeptical and very mocking us. You know, it's funny.
That is funny, but I need to ask you a couple more questions. Before you performed, you said you rehearsed your asses off, which I can only imagine. Did you come up with choreography? Did you have to take into account your wardrobe so that you could move around while playing instruments? How did all of this come into play?
We didn't do a thing. We were teens just learning our instruments. We probably knew six or seven songs by then, okay? Maybe a couple more. And these three were three of them. We didn't even think about where to move, what to do. You know, Diane had to go where the key was already on stage. And Mary Lou, I don't even think she sang any of those three. So she must have been singing harmony or whatever. But I'm telling you, we didn't know shit then. We didn't know. We just went up there and we're going to play. Just get through playing the damn instruments. You know,
Do
I
you
don't, we didn't
remember?
do any choreography. No, that was not in our, we did not want to do that. That
That would
was way
have been
before.
like almost too much for your first performance. It would have been like, come on, you're that.
Yeah,
You got
no,
through
we
it.
didn't do choreography. It wasn't even what we would have done. We weren't into that at that moment when we started. It was the British invasion that, you know, nobody did choreography. That was the Motown people that
True.
did.
True, true. Do you remember
So
the order of your set list? I'm assuming you closed with Louie Louie.
I think we would have started, you know, Dad taught us well as far as building a set and all that. I mean, he would talk to us at home. I think we probably started with Long Tall Sally
Yeah.
and then Latin Loop. Little Latin Loopy Lou would have been second. And then I'm sure we ended with the racy song, Louie Louie, just because it was the thing to do with the
Well,
square
and it's
wheel.
such a great audience call and response song. I mean, it really gets the audience involved. So, you
Oh,
know,
they would yell it out. The bad words, they would yell it out. We heard them. Fuck you, girl, or whatever it was in the lyrics. That cracked us up, but they joined right in.
there's a reason why Louie Louie is so popular.
Yes.
So
Yes.
there you are. You've gotten through your three songs. You've turned the audience around. No more skepticism, including even the girls in the audience. But what about Dave Leon? What was his response?
Dave Leon loved it. He booked us again and again. I think he was quite surprised that we actually knew the songs and were able to do it. No, he was all for it. I mean, he really promoted and was behind us, you know, and supportive of what we were doing. That's why he booked us over and over. He knew he had something different, special, that wasn't playing Friday night at the Hideout. So,
But
yeah, it turned out really well.
take us back to that moment, because there you were, Patty, 3 weeks prior. Ms. Bravada there saying d to Dave Leone, put us on. And he said with that smirk, 3 weeks and three in 3 weeks, you got three songs. And you, my dear, delivered. So what was that moment he comes face to face with you as you get off the stage? Did he hug you? Did you cry? What happened?
No, none of that. We were proud. We were like glad we were able to pull it off, and we were shocked at how we turned the crowd around. That was our experience, the first time of realizing, okay, girls, gender girls, might have a different path in this music arena. It might flow differently because it really came home to us, all of us. I think even Mary Lou. She probably shit bricks, after the performance that she got through it. But I think it really taught us something about how women might be received in this venture we were starting, because it was a shock for them to turn around so completely from mocking to yelling and screaming and being proud and, hey, cool, It
In
was
three
amazing.
songs. In three songs.
Three songs. I'm sure we were all a bit shocked and learning something about gender.